Welcome, everybody, to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, the host of this program, and we've got a great guest who's traveled quite a ways, and we're going to talk about travel today. It's Dan Velez, who is the TSA New England spokesperson. He's a public affairs specialist for the Media Operations Division, and he joined right after COVID. He's also from New England and a 21-year Air Force veterans. So thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. So you've had quite a career in communications. You've worked for a lot of agencies, and now you're working for TSA, which stands for
Transportation Security Administration.
And, you know, we've all had experiences when we travel, especially TSA is such a huge part of that. And, you know, what we do here at Baldwin Media is media relations, and oftentimes TSA is in the midst of that. You know, from an overarching standpoint, what is the role that TSA plays in domestic and international travel?
Yeah, I mean, basically what it boils down to is TSA is responsible for making sure that when people fly, when they take trains, when they take any type of transportation, around the country, they can feel safe. Most of us know what happened during 9/11. Mm-hmm. TSA was born after that because of what happened. And our job is to make sure that people are safe. They're not bringing on prohibited items, firearms, razors, anything that can be used as a weapon. Our job is to make sure that it stays off of the aircraft. People can still bring those items, but they have to be in their checked bag. They can't have access to them in their carry-on bags.
Right, and it's interesting that you say that TSA was born out of 9/11, because before that, it was really like cowboys and Indians, right? Anything goes. I mean, I don't remember those days. Isn't that interesting? I don't remember not having TSA, but pretty much everybody got away with everything, and people probably weren't as safe as they are today.
No, not even close. Back then it was run by contractors mostly, and then there was a few government employees that worked. I can't even remember what the name of the administration was, but they did have a form of TSA, but it was nothing compared to what it is today. So yeah, back then people were bringing on guns and knives and all kinds of stuff. TSA was born out of 9/11, and we've done a fantastic job, I'd say, in the past 22 years, I think it's been now, 23 mm-hmm. years, of making sure that people are safe and getting from destination to destination, whether they're traveling for work, whether they're traveling for vacation. We want to keep people safe.
Why isn't there, though, you talked about, and again, we're speaking with Dan Velez, who's the New England spokesperson for TSA. Why isn't there the kind of vigilance that there is on trains like there are on airplanes, though? We don't have to go through, take our shoes off, take our laptops out. We just hop on a train. Why is there a difference?
So, believe it or not, there's a lot of things that go on in the background that people don't see. With trains, it's a much more expansive system. It would be harder for us to put people in those positions like we do for aircraft. Mm-hmm. But trust me, we have what we call Viper teams, visible intermodal response teams that are all over the country. They're responsible for making sure that our transportation system on the railways is just as safe as it is in the air.
So technology has changed quite a bit. You know, I just recently had a trip to Iowa, and I know as I went through some of the major airports now, there are, you know, systems that you don't have to take your technology take your laptop out of your bag, and if you're over a certain age, you don't have to take your shoes off. I mean, things are evolving and things are changing. I mean, how has technology changed the game when it comes to travel?
Yeah, especially over the past 5 years, technology has really come into the forefront of TSA and what we do, and it's going to continue, throughout the next decades. You mentioned when you come to the screening area about certain things that are getting screened. One of our newest technology pieces that we've added is called computed tomography. And it's a 3D x-ray scanner, and it dates back to 2002 when the medical field was using it. So we've kind of now incorporated that into a security role. And these new CT machines are fantastic. It gives our transportation security officers a 3D image of everything that's inside your bag. They can rotate your bag 360 degrees and pinpoint certain things in your bag. And what's great about it for passengers is that they can now keep all of their items that they had to pull out in the past. You had to take your laptop out. Mm-hmm. You had to take your cell phones out. And anything electronic had to be in a separate bin. That's no longer the case anymore. Now everybody can keep all of those items in their bag. And then when they get to the other side, they just grab their bag and go. So it's a lot more convenient for passengers.
You know, I always, when I go home, I always take Rossel. We have a place called Rossel's, and they have the best kielbasa. Okay, you know what kielbasa is, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you know what it looks like, right?
Yep.
So I usually put like three links of those in my carry-on. And each and every time, it seems like then they got to go through my bag. And they pull out the kielbasa, and we all have a lot of laughs, right? And then the other thing I've learned, too, is, you know, I wear an underwire bra, not to get personal, but usually then I got to get padded down after I get out of that machine, because, but now I've learned don't do that, and I can get through safely. So there's just certain things that people are looking for and certain things that might set off the system, right? And then everybody behind you gets irritated because you're slowing things down.
Yeah, that's one of the things about travel and what's so tough for our transportation security officers is the majority of the time when people are traveling, it's a stressful time.
Yep.
Even though you're going on vacation, people are still stressed out. They have they got to get somewhere. Anytime you have a time element involved, people are going to be a little stressed. So a lot of times people are on edge. Not everybody, but it's, you know, it can be tough for the officers. And then there's times, you know, when the airlines will schedule there's a big rush and all the airlines are taking off at the same time at major airports. Mm-hmm. That can be pretty tough too. We work with the airports as much as we can to make sure that we're ready for those times. But sometimes you have an onslaught of people that are coming through, and our main job, number one job, is to make sure that they're safe.
Right.
Not that they're happy. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's secondary.
Right.
We want to make sure they're safe. So we're doing everything we can to try and get people through as quickly as we can, but we want to make sure that we're doing the right job and we're catching things that shouldn't be going through.
Right, and some of this is up to the traveler, too. You know, when they say they're, like when I flew through DIA, Denver, I mean, I took an aerial shot of the line that just looked like it was a rock concert. I mean, there were so many people in line. And so you have to allot for that. Whereas if you're flying out of Bradley, it's usually not as congested. It usually doesn't take you that long to get through, you know, TSA. So part of that's up to you, right? You can't expect them to do their job faster because they're just trying to keep us all safe. I mean, that's really the, like you said, that's the number one priority.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that passengers can help us out to get them through quicker. One of them is making sure you get to the airport at least 2 hours prior to departure. That doesn't always happen. And I know that it's hard because traffic and everything slows people down. But if you're there 2 hours ahead of time, you're good to go. You're going to get through the line. You're going to catch your plane. There's nothing to worry about. Making sure that you have your ID card out now. Before, in the past, like before COVID, we were using, at most airports, we were still using boarding passes. Mm-hmm. We're not really using those that much anymore. Some places
still are. So put it on your phone. Put your boarding pass on your phone. Is that your recommendation?
Yeah, if you have a phone, yeah, have the boarding pass on your phone. But the main thing we're going to ask you for now is your ID card. Mm-hmm. So we have new credential authentication technology machines that are travel document checkers use nowadays. Mm-hmm. So when you get up to the travel document checker, it's the first person, TSA person, you're going to encounter.
Right.
They're going to ask you for your ID, or they're going to ask you to insert
it.
Yep. And that machine will be able to tell us a bunch of different things. One, if you're on the non-travel list, the secure non-travel list. Two, if you're actually flying that day. Hmm. We have all of that data based off of your ID card.
Okay. Now, when does it begin? I understand that you have to start showing your passport or two forms of ID, that there's a rule change or something coming up?
It's called Real ID.
Okay.
And that's a thing that we have with the state driver's license departments around the country. And what that basically is, and we've had to push this back a bunch of different times. Mm-hmm. I think three times we've pushed the date back because people and the state driver's license facilities, they just weren't ready because of COVID, mm-hmm. which is understandable. So the new date is May 7th, 2025. You're going to have to get a Real ID to travel, or you'll have to have a passport.
So you can't just use your driver's license anymore?
Well, your driver's license will be a real ID. Oh, okay. So basically, when you go to renew your driver's license, mm-hmm. you need to tell them or ask them that you want a real ID. I think some states are automatically doing it.
That. Okay.
But some states, I think you still have to ask for it. Mm-hmm. So basically what it is you have to fill out another sheet, a form, and they'll put a star on your ID card.
Okay.
And our technology machines will be able to tell whether or not it's a real ID or not. So
we got a few years for that one.
Yeah. Like I said, we've had to push it back. I'm hoping we don't have to push it back again.
But what's the reason for that? Why can't you just show a passport or your ID? What's the reason that you're doing that?
Well, passports you can still show, but your driver's licenses with the real ID, one, they're harder to replicate or duplicate. So we're just trying to make people safer. So there's a program with the state driver's license facilities, the government, TSA, to make sure that we now have a real ID, or everybody has a real ID, which will make sure that we're all a lot safer and more secure.
Did you hear that, folks? Have your IDs out when you get to that person. That's also my pet peeve. People have got to be digging through their purse or digging through their pockets to find their ID. Do you still have to show your boarding pass with your ID or just your ID?
It'll depend on the airport.
Okay.
Most airports, your Category X airports, LAX, LaGuardia, Boston, the big airports, you don't have to do that. They'll just ask for your... But some of the smaller airports may still ask you for your boarding pass. Mm-hmm. So if you're at a bigger airport, just have your ID ready. If you're at one of the smaller ones, have your ID ready and have your phone in your hand with your boarding pass.
And look ahead at what the other people in front of you are doing. You know, don't get up there and then wonder what you got to do next. I mean, you're in line for a while, probably. So just observe. Be observant. Get off your phone and be observant. We're speaking with Dan Velez, who's the New England spokesperson for the TSA. Let's talk a little bit about TSA pre-check.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I used to get that randomly on my boarding passes. Sometimes I get a TSA pre-check, but now you got to sign up for it, right? You got to pay for it. Do you think it's worth the money? Are there advantages to TSA PreCheck?
Yeah, there's definitely advantages. I fly constantly, you know, throughout the year. I have TSA PreCheck, and I think the longest I've ever waited in line, and I fly to DCA or BWI, which are busy airports, the longest I think I've waited in line is 10 minutes with TSA PreCheck.
What's the process for that? What do you got to do?
So it's pretty simple. You go to TSA.gov, you click on travel, and then you click on TSA PreCheck. You'll fill out a form, and then you'll get an email a little bit later giving you options of where you need to go to finish the process. So you have to go to a processing station. Sometimes, I think Bradley used to have one. I'm not sure if they still have it.
I think
it
they do.
Yeah, I think, mm-hmm. yeah, you're right, they mm-hmm. do. So you could go to Bradley, or there's different places around, you know, Hartford, Windsor, all around the area.
Then don't forget the money part.
Yes. Well, the thing that people seem to make a mistake with is they think it's $70 a year, and that's not the case. It's $78 for 5 years.
Oh.
So you get it for 5 years, and then when it goes to renew on your sixth year, it does go down to $70,
mm-hmm.
and then that's for the next 5 years. So I just want to make sure people are aware of that TSA PreCheck is $78 for the first 5 years and $70 every other 5 years after that.
So what are the qualifications? Are people ever rejected from getting TSA PreCheck? What's that process like?
I'm not exactly sure. I know they fingerprint you. They do a background check. They just want to make sure that, you know, you're not on any type of wanted list mm-hmm. or you're a terrorist or you're, mm-hmm. you know. So that's basically what they're doing. And then once you're vetted through the system and you're good to go, you get a pre-check number. And every time you fly, you put that pre-check number into
your reservation.
Yeah, your reservation. And a lot of if you fly Southwest or American or whatever constantly, you know, you can make it so that that number pops up every single time and mm-hmm. you don't even have to worry about it. And then it's automatically on your boarding pass. It's automatically in conjunction with your ID card as well. So when you put your ID card in the slot, it knows whether you're a TSA PreCheck member or not.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, yesterday there was a couple, I flew out of BWI yesterday. There was a couple in front of me. They were a little bit older and they were foreign and they were in the PreCheck line, and the lady inserted her ID card in, and then the TSO, she was really nice. She let them know that they're not pre-check members. Mm-hmm. So they had to, and even though you're not, and even though you could, they could let you go, they don't.
They don't. No. They had to go back and start over.
They had to go back into the regular line. So make sure that you're in the right line.
That's right. Sometimes I think maybe they won't figure it out. I'll just go in this line.
Oh, no. They know.
That's interesting. Yep. And what about those other places? I've seen like Clear and other companies that say they can get you through the lines quicker. Is that just like a TSA pre-check or is that, what's that about?
So Clear is a separate company that we work with. You can get Clear. They use biometrics so that you'll have to scan your eyes and then you'll kind of, we do what we call now a zipper thing. So once you get scanned through Clear, you'll get escorted right over to the TSA pre-check line. Mm-hmm. And then you'll zipper in with the TSA pre-check members.
So which one's better, Clear or TSA PreCheck?
Well,
you work for TSA
yeah,
now.
Obviously, so. I'm going to say TSA PreCheck. For
but,
one, it's cheaper.
Okay. All right. Yep. All right. Because sometimes they'll be standing right there when there's a long line saying, sign up now and we'll cut the line and we'll get you in there. And so a lot of people I see do that.
Yeah. They're mainly trying to compare it to the regular security line.
Yeah. Yeah.
But TSA PreCheck line, it's just as small or just as short as their line.
I'm signing up today. Yeah, I travel a lot now. Especially
you don't have it.
I don't have it. So I used to get it, like I said, but now I don't have it anymore. So I'm gonna do that. So let's have some fun now because I know you know some stories. I'm just thinking about, I talked about my kielbasa that I try to get through and my underwire bras that cause me problems. But what are some of the things that, you know, you hear about when people travel that you just shake your head and say, I can't believe anybody would be that stupid to try to bring X on a flight?
Well, I don't call anybody stupid.
Oh, okay.
I definitely don't
do
that.
I do. I won't attribute that to you, Dan.
But some of the things that people shake their head or that I shake my head at mainly is firearms. Mm. People should know nowadays you cannot bring a firearm in your carry-on bag. Last year, we detected 6,500, and I can't remember the exact number, but 6,500. That's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And we are right now, I think we're on a pace, we have about 4,500. 93% of those firearms, of those 4,500 this year, have been loaded.
What?
Yeah. So that's some of the things I shake my head at. It's like, and then, you know, you get arguments from people, well, it's legal in my state to have an open carry. Well, that it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That's a state law. Once you come into TSA's property, you're on federal property. And you have to abide by federal laws. And it's really that simple. Mm-hmm. Now, TSA, from what people think or opposed to what they think, we're not anti-firearm. If you want to bring your firearm, that's fine. But there are proper procedures. Mm-hmm. Basically, you have to put it in your checked bag. It's got to be in a locked case where people cannot access it. And you have to declare it with the airline. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah.
So if you want to travel with your firearm, by all means, go ahead. You just can't come through security screening with it with your carry-on bag. It's just not going to, you know.
And then they confiscate it, and then law enforcement gets involved, right? And then
yeah. So what happens when we find a firearm is we immediately call the local law enforcement, mm-hmm. and 9 times out of 10 they're right there at the airport. They take it over from there. Once we detect it, we alienate it or we keep it away from the passenger. And then we call law enforcement, and then they deal with it. Mm-hmm. So whatever happens with the gun or with the person is up
out
to the state
hands.
Law.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of people always ask, they're like, why wasn't that person arrested? Or why did they get their gun back? And it all depends on the state laws.
And the situation. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So what is your role? What is TSA's role, Dan, with the luggage? Do you also scan luggage in a separate area, or is that up to somebody else?
So you're talking about check bags. Yeah. Once you when you check in and they take your check bag, it goes on a conveyor belt. You know, mm-hmm. you see them put it on there, yep. and then it goes back. It goes back into a long, like miles long conveyor belt system. And we have machines back there to detect any type of explosive or firearms as well. So We do have people back there that are vetting checked bags as well.
And how do you know? I know sometimes when I've traveled, I've noticed that my bag's been opened and gone through. I get a little badge or sticker on my suitcase saying yep. that it's been looked at. How do you decide whose bag to go through, and is it just random?
Yeah, sometimes it's random, and then other times The machine will pick up something that we're not sure of, and we have to verify it. So then we will have to go into your bag. But as you said, we do our best to make sure that we don't damage the bag, for one. Mm-hmm. And two,
we leave it up to the airlines to do that. That's my editorial comment. Okay, go ahead.
And we make sure
to put things back nicely.
Yeah, we let you know with either some type of sticker, or sometimes you'll find a card inside your suitcase letting you know, hey, we had to search your bag.
Yeah. So let's go back to some of the crazy things. We talked about guns. What else? What else have people tried to get through there?
Well, there have been baby sharks in formaldehyde that people have tried to bring through. That seems to be a popular item in New England.
How about lobsters? Can you take live lobsters?
I don't know if you can take I'll have to look that one up. That's a good that's a good one.
Speaking of New England, you know, I mean, I just figured that would be one of the things. What else?
So last year or the year before, we had a woman bring a slow cooker through in security screening. So that immediately triggered our TSOs to be like, why is she bringing a slow cooker through? So it went through the CT, the computer tomography x-ray, and they discovered like these, they saw something in there and they weren't sure what it was. So they had to do some research.
Uh-huh.
So they open it up and they look at it and there's nothing in there. And they're like, well, this is weird. So they put it through again and then they're like, something's in there. So they had to take it apart, and wedged in between the walls, because I don't know if you've ever taken a slow cooker apart, but
no.
They have these, like, there's like a wall in between, was $10,000 in cash. Now, it's not illegal to bring money through the TSA checkpoint, but you should declare it. You should say, hey, I've got this money. Anytime you try to hide money or you're doing something weird, it's going to trigger a response from our TSOs. And they're going to call local law enforcement. And yeah, so they called law enforcement, and it turned out that the woman was a prostitute and there was drugs involved as well. So that was a really big one.
That's a big one. But I mean, you talk about drawing attention to the situation. Who would put money in a slow cooker? I mean, you know, it just does. Put it in your bra or something, but don't put it in a slow cooker. Okay, so we got a few minutes left, Dan, and I want to leave this conversation again. Dan Velez, who's the New England spokesperson for TSA New England. Give us some top tips so that we don't get caught up, so that we don't slow people down. What can we do? I mean, obviously, you know, the liquid's got to go out. You have allowed now for a certain amount of liquids, like, you know, with lotions and things, because, you know, people pick up booze, people pick up things to take home to their family on vacation, and then next thing you know, they're in the trash barrel.
Yeah. Well, let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
So when you're home, you're getting ready to go on your trip, use a suitcase that is completely empty. Because if you've used a suitcase before traveling by car, bus, or train, and you were able to bring something that you can't bring on a plane, it's going to show up. So start with an empty suitcase.
Okay.
Get to the airport at least 2 hours prior to your departure time.
Mm-hmm.
Have your ID card out and ready to go.
Right.
Listen to the divesting officers. That's the officer who's right there before you put your bag into the X-ray
machine. They're
hollering
out, shoes off, laptops out, bup.
Yep.
They got it done.
They always sound like they're yelling.
I know, but you know, it's so everybody can hear, but not everybody's listening.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So listen to what they say. Right now, with the new computed tomography machines, more than likely, what you should be doing is taking all of your loose items, your wallet, your keys, your purse, rings, anything that might set it off, don't put them in the bin by themselves. Put everything in your carry-on bag.
Okay.
It makes it a lot easier with these new machines. Even if all that stuff's just thrown in your carry-on bag, we can easily spot.
But I didn't think you had to take your jewelry off, your rings and your watches.
Well, it depends. I'm not supposed to have to take my belt off it through TSA pre-check.
Mm-hmm.
However, sometimes a belt will set off the alarms. So
just be proactive. If you think it's going to cause a problem, take it off and put it somewhere. Okay.
Yeah. And then if you're not sure on whether you can bring something, we have this really cool app. It's called the MyTSA app. And if you download that and have it on your phone, there's a little link that says, what can I bring? And if you click on that, you can type in basically anything and it'll tell you whether or not you can bring it in your carry-on bag or your checked bag or neither.
Mm-hmm. Baby sharks and formaldehyde, you put that in.
I mean, the shark itself probably would have been okay, but once it's in formaldehyde, that's a liquid.
Jesus.
So that's what disqualified that one. But yeah, it'll help you a lot more and get you through the line a lot faster if you just listen to the officers and then make sure that everything stays in your carry-on bag.
Right. Well, this has been great. Dan Velez, I want to thank you very much for all these tips and kind of giving us an insider's look into the TSA, because like I said, I travel a lot and I had a lot of questions about what these people do, you know, why are they there, you know, obviously for our safety, they're doing a job, you know, we're all uptight, we're traveling, but you know, give these folks a break, right? That's probably my best advice. So thank you very much for being here, and I hope that all of you enjoyed some of the tips right from the spokesperson for New England for TSA. Thank you for your information, and thank you for listening. Have a great day. And again, Ann Baldwin here, and we'll see you again next Sunday right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.